Morning, Flood Church. As we're going through the sermon series called Sold Out, I'm continuing this week talking about following Jesus in the face of uncertainty or hardship. Following Jesus in the face of uncertainty or hardship. And this week, we'll be reading John 21, starting from verse 1 to 14. John 21, starting from verse 1 to 14. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read. And the passage reads, breakfast by the sea, breakfast by the sea. Here's the word of our Lord. And these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They say to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, friends, have you any food? They answered him, no. Then he said to them, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for it was not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared to ask, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for each and every person hearing this word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you speak to us. Speak to us so we can hear you ever so clearly. I pray that you open our ears, open our hearts, so that we can learn from you. It's in your name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen. As we're continuing in the series Sold Out, today we're going to be talking about following Jesus in the face of uncertainty or hardship. Following Jesus in the face of uncertainty or hardship. And today, I'll be sharing from this passage, John 21, starting from verse 1 to 14. And as I share from this passage, I'll put this in three phases. So the first one, I want us to talk about what it meant for the disciples then. And for the second part, I'll talk about what it means for us today, what it means for us now. And the last part, I want us to look at how we can apply this into our lives. So what it meant for them then, what it means for us now, and how we can apply that into our own lives. What it meant for them then is these disciples were originally fishermen. So from the time that Jesus found them, he found them as fishermen. So this is what they were doing each and every day of their lives. They would go out and fish. So when Jesus came, he found them and told them, you're leaving this life and starting a new life where you're going to be fishing for men. So now they had to leave everything that they know. They had to leave everything that they were familiar with. They had to leave the life that they were so comfortable in and started a new life where they followed Jesus and actually started to fish for men. So now they were going from city to city, town to town, fishing for men. and they had done this for 3 years. So now Jesus, as he was ministering with them, told them that a time is coming where I'll be crucified. Not only will I be crucified, I'll die. I'll be buried and I'll rise again. They would listen to Jesus telling them about this, but they still didn't grasp it as much. And now, series of events happened where each and everything that Jesus said started to happen. He was arrested, he was crucified, he died, he was buried, and then he rose. So he had appeared to them two times before this, and this was the third time Jesus was appearing to them. And maybe for us now, what it means for us today, maybe some of us left a life that we were so familiar with, whether it's a job that doesn't align with the Word of God, it doesn't align with what you believe in today. Maybe it's a relationship that you had that doesn't align with the Word of God. So you left that relationship behind and started a new life with God, and now you are met with so much uncertainty and hardship. And now, like the disciples, you're thinking of, maybe it's time for me to go back to what I know. Because for us as humans, most of the times, we go back to things that seem so familiar. And that's what these disciples were doing. They decided to go back to what was familiar. Maybe it's you in that situation as well, where you've been praying for something or you've been looking forward for something and it's not happening. And now you're thinking of, maybe I should just go back to what is normal. Because for these disciples, for 3 years, they had been looking up to Jesus. For 3 years, they had been looking up to this master. For 3 years, they had been following their leader. And he was providing for them physically. He was providing for them spiritually. And now, at this point, Jesus is no longer there. They had so many questions. They had so many doubts. They had so many uncertainties. Because the person that they looked up to is no longer there. And even though he said, I'll come back, but it was still hard for them to know how they would operate without him. But now Jesus wants to show them the level of commitment that he has for their lives, because Jesus said, I'll be there for you. And still, these people didn't believe him. So now Jesus presents an opportunity where he meets them face to face and shows them that he can provide for them even in their times of hardship, even in their times of uncertainty. So today, I want us to look at three actions that we see from this passage as Jesus encounters these disciples at the sea. Three actions that Jesus shows in this encounter with the disciples at the sea. The first action is from verse 4 to 6. He sees. So Jesus sees them. If you know anybody who has lived at the lake or anywhere around Mangochi, Salima, the best time for you to go fishing is at night. So when you stand at the shore at night, you see lights all over the lake, because that's fishermen who are at the lake. The best time for you to fish is at night. So the disciples had gone out to fish at night. They spent the night there trying to fish. And when morning came, they had nothing. So as they were going back to shore, Jesus sees them at a distance. And Jesus calls them out and says, friends, have you any fish? And they say, no. Because at this point, they had spent the whole night trying to fish. And they had come back with empty nets. And Jesus asked them, have you any fish? Maybe you are in a season where you have been trying, like these disciples. You have been casting your net. You have been doing the best that you can, whether it's someone who has been sending CVs everywhere, applying for jobs. But each and every month, you get an email saying, we regret to inform you, but you're not getting this job. You have been trying, but nothing is coming out of this. Maybe you have been praying, and prayers are not being answered. Because in our seasons of hardship, in our seasons of uncertainty, we feel like Jesus or God is not seeing us. We feel like we're alone. We feel like God doesn't notice that we're going through uncertain times. It feels like God doesn't notice that we're going through hard times. But Jesus, in this situation, sees the disciples. He sees their frustration. He sees their tiredness. Imagine leaving home and spending the night at the lake on the shore, on the sea, actually, trying to fish and coming back. Imagine the tiredness you'd have. Imagine the frustration you would have. Maybe they had even more doubts and more concerns because they had been fishermen for the longest time, and now they had started following Jesus. And maybe they had questions to say, maybe we have lost our touch as fishermen. Maybe this is not meant for us anymore. Jesus sees what you're going through. But most of the times for us, it's easier said than done. It's easier for us to say, Jesus sees what you're going through. Jesus sees you in your moments of hardships. Jesus sees you in your moments of uncertainty. But I want us, I want to leave you with a word from Isaiah 43 verse 2. And it says, when you pass through waters, I will be with you. When you pass through rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Because in our times of uncertainty, in our times of hardship, it seems like we're alone, but God says, I see you. And in the times where you're passing through rivers, they'll not sweep over you. When you're walking through the fire, you'll not be set ablaze. Remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In that moment of uncertainty, they probably felt alone, but God saw them. Daniel in the lion's den, those were uncertain times. He might have felt alone, but God saw him. Job, in his times of hardship, after losing one thing after another, he might have felt alone, but God saw him. Even you, in your times of uncertainty, in your times of hardship, you might be feeling alone, but God says, I see you. Jesus says, I see you. So even in our times of hardship, in our times of uncertainty, God sees us. The second action that we see here is in verse 7 to 9. He cares. He cares. Jesus cares. So not only does he see them, he showed them that he cares. And how does he do this? Jesus tells them that they should cast their net to the right side. They had been out at sea for the longest time. And this random person just shouts to them and says, have you any fish? And instructs them to cast their nets on the right side. And not only do they catch fish, but they also get surprised. Jesus shows that he cares for them because not only does he provide for them with the miracle of fish, but he also provides for them breakfast. As you're reading at the top of the New King James Version, it says breakfast by the sea, because that's basically what they did. Jesus not only provided for them the miracle that they needed, which was fish, but he also provides for them breakfast. Because they had spent the night at sea. They had spent the night working. They were really tired at this point. They were really hungry at this point. Jesus provides for them with breakfast as well. So he makes breakfast. When they get to the shore, they find fire and there is bread and fish on the shore. So Jesus provides for them with 153 fish, but not only does he provide the 153 fish, but he also provides breakfast for them. Sometimes we seem to not pray other prayers because we feel like we're going to bother God. Maybe we feel like we're going to inconvenience God, but God is never inconvenienced by his own children. God wants to provide for you. In the big things, which are the 153 fish in your life, but even in the small things, in the seemingly small things, like breakfast, in the seemingly small thing, like you being hungry, God wants to provide for you in that as well, because he cares that much for you. He cares that much for each and every one of us. He cares for the seemingly big things that are happening in your life, the seemingly milestones in your life, but he also cares about something as small as breakfast? What things are you trusting God for, even in your times of uncertainty or hardship? God cares for you. He shows that he cares for these disciples by providing for the miracle that they wanted, which was fish. But he also provides for the seemingly small thing that was breakfast. So in our times of uncertainty, in our times of hardship, know that God not only sees you, but he also cares for you. And he wants to provide for you, because that is who Jesus is. And the last thing that we see is from verse 11. Not only does Jesus see us in our times of uncertainty, not only does Jesus see us in our times of hardship, but he also cares for us. Not only does he care for us, but he also has the power. He also has the power. And he has the power to change our situations. And we see this in verse 11. In verse 11, where they were provided for the fish. They were provided for breakfast, yes. But he also has the power to do miracles. So maybe some of us remember this miracle from a different passage. So this is not the first time this miracle has happened. A similar miracle happened where they went out to sea, they spent the night there, and when they spent the night, they came back with empty nets. And Jesus instructs them to say, cast your nets again. And when they cast their nets, they find that the fish are actually so full that the nets began to break. They had to signal their friends to come in so that they can help them to carry the nets, the fish. So now, Jesus also does a similar miracle, but in a different way. Because I love how Jesus is consistent. Jesus is consistent in providing for the disciples. He provided for them then, and in this moment, he also provides for them. But not only is he consistent, but Jesus doesn't want to be predictable. He just doesn't want you and I to predict that, oh, because Jesus provides like this, now you have your hands out, open, waiting for him to drop another miracle. No, Jesus is consistent, but he's not predictable like that. So in this moment, he provides fish for them, but the nets did not break. Because Jesus has the power to provide for you. Jesus has the power to provide for me. So in our seasons of uncertainty, in our seasons of hardship, sometimes it seems like you're alone. Sometimes it seems like God does not see us. But God sees us. And he has the power to change our situations. And many times when we're going through hard times, when we're going through hardships, it seems like we're in that moment forever. It seems like we'll never come out of this. We'll never come out of this situation. I know for the last few years, a lot has been happening. We're in this season of COVID. When COVID started, everyone was scared. We didn't know how everything would happen. And we got to a point now where as people have just started to adapt and our lives revolve around this, because these are uncertain times. We don't know when it's going to end. So we have gone to a point where we just want to adapt and move on with life. And as we're going through struggles, as we're going through trouble, we think we're alone. Recently, I saw a post on Twitter that was talking about some guy said from South Africa. He posted a picture of him with 2 5-liter bottles of cooking oil. And he said, the new sign of success or wealth, and carry those 2 5-liter bottles of cooking oil. And if you are anyone who buys cooking oil every once in a while, you know how expensive that is. And that is something that is also happening not just in Malawi, but even outside of the country. There's a war in Ukraine. Things aren't uncertain on when this will end or how far this can go. Because hardships and uncertainties do not pick and choose a person. So when we're going through hardships, when we're going through uncertainties, it feels like we're all alone. But God is calling us to trust him. God is calling us to trust him because he has the power. He has the power to change our situations. He has the power to change our situations the same way he had the power to change the situation of these disciples. He has the power to change our situations, but all we need to do is trust him. He wants us to trust him in our wins, but also trust him in our frustrations. He wants us to trust him in our praise, but also trust him in our seasons of silence. Trust him with our plans, but also trust him with our uncertainties. He wants us to trust him with our success, but also trust him with our hardships. I work for Young Life, and at one of the leader retreats, we had an activity called the Trust Fall. So if you've never done the Trust Fall, what you basically do is you have an elevated ground where one person stands and you have a bunch of other leaders standing behind them. So basically, what the other leaders will do is they'll reach out their arms so that if the person would let go and fall, they'll fall in their hands. So basically, what you're doing is you're standing at the edge and you're letting go of your body and falling in the arms of people. So the trust fall is always really hard because you are thinking of concrete that is on the ground, and what you're doing is letting go of your body. Now you start to think to yourself, what if the person behind me doesn't catch me? That means I'll bang myself against the concrete. But it's a trustful, it's called the trustful because you are trusting the people that are behind you, knowing that if I fall, they're actually going to catch me. If I let myself go, they'll be able to catch me. And it's called the trustful because you have to trust the people behind you. And what better place to fall in than the arms of our loving Father? If you're ever going to trust, if you're ever going to let go and fall, what better landing space than in the arms of our loving Father? Because if we're ever going to fall and we think of a place that we're going to land in, it should be the hands of our loving Father. Because not only does he see us, not only does he care for us, but he even has the power to change our situations. He even has the power to change our situations. I'll leave you with a story of a man called Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford is a person that lived in the 1800s. Horatio Spafford was from the USA, and he was a wealthy businessman. And in 1870, his son fell ill and died. So after his son died, his life savings that were in his business were lost. There was a great Chicago fire, and during that fire, Horatio Spafford lost most of his life savings. And now, looking at just a series of events that had happened, from 1 year losing his son, and just a few months or a year later, to losing his life savings and business, Horatio Spafford and his wife sat down and thought of, maybe we should take this family out and go for a vacation. And they agreed, yeah, we need to go for a vacation just to cool off. And when they were thinking of going for a vacation, one of their friends, who was a missionary, had a mission trip going to the UK. So they decided to accompany this friend of theirs to go to England for their mission trip, but also for them to enjoy a little vacation as a family. So Horatio Spafford, his wife, and their four daughters were supposed to travel together to England. And in this time, before they traveled to England, just a few days before, Horatio Spafford got message of a huge business deal. And he couldn't miss this because this was a huge chance for him to get back on his business. And he instructed his wife, he asked his wife and said, if you can travel with the kids, and I'll find you when I finish this business deal. The wife was a little hesitant, but Horatio got to convince the wife, and they left. So the wife and their four daughters got on the ship and left. While they were on the ship, midway through the journey, their ship collided with another ship, and the ship that the wife was in sank. So in that ship, 200 people died during that accident. Horatio Spafford got news of just everything that had happened, and he was just waiting in anticipation. And a few days later, he got news from his wife saying, I am safe, but the children are gone. So Horatio, at this point, was devastated. He was devastated and decided to finish the business deal that he had and follow his wife so that he can just be there and accompany his wife. So when he finished his business deal, he got on the boat, he got on the ship, and was traveling to England following his wife. And one of the captains who knew who Horatio was, when they got to the point where the shipwreck happened, where Horatio had lost all his four daughters, told him, "This is where your daughters lost their life." And at that point, that's where Horatio sat down and wrote the famous lines to one of our favorite hymns, which is, "It Is Well With My Soul." He said, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I might not be in a position to understand your pain. I might not be in a position to understand your hurt. I might not be in a position to understand your hardship. I might not be in a position to understand your uncertainty. But one thing that I pray for, one thing that I ask God to do, is to give you the grace, to give you the peace that Horatio Spafford had when he was writing these words down. Because we can all agree that that was a really, really, really hard time for him. From 1 year losing your son, 4-year-old son, to another year losing your life savings, and then going forward, losing four daughters. It was hardship after hardship after hardship. For you to sit down and even write those words down, it takes a special amount of grace. It takes a special amount of peace. And I pray that in our seasons of uncertainty, in our seasons of hardship, in our seasons of pain, that God gives us the grace, God gives us the peace to say, it is well with my soul. And not just saying that because it's a song that we have sang over and over again, or it's a favorite hymn, but it's something that is coming out from deep down our hearts and coming out of the abundance of just peace that is within us, that God has given us. And I pray that in those moments of hardship, in those moments of uncertainty, in those moments of pain, God can give you that grace. God can give you that peace. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time. Thank you for just each and every word that has been said today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you help us to realize in our times of uncertainty, in our times of hardship, that we're not alone, but you see us. Not only do you see us and leave us there, but you even want to change our situation, change our seasons, and you care for us that much. And not only do you just care for us, but you even have the power to change our seasons. But even, Heavenly Father, as we are in those seasons, as we're in the middle of those seasons, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you give us the grace and peace to even trust you even more, and let go of whatever that we're holding on to, because you have the power to change our situations. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to speak to us throughout the week, throughout the months, and throughout the year over this, because it's in your name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen. If you need people to pray for you, there'll be prayer counselors that can pray for you. You don't have to go through hardships, uncertainties, or doubts or questions alone, because God is there for you. Thank you.